Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
It's Loud and Local, and I'm proud and happy and stoked to have at the heart of the world a Portland two-piece back on the show. A lot of things happened during the first one. First off, I thought I lost the file forever. There was a file corruption or something, and then I finally got it back. Had him on the show, and then the pandemic happened, but I'm stoked to have him back. So how are you guys doing tonight?
Pretty good overall, you know?
Not bad.
I guess to anyone who didn't hear the first show, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what you do with Art at the Heart of the World?
Well, it's a little different now. Last time we were on, I played guitar and did like some of the vocals, and then me and Josh both like wrote and programmed synths. And now we've kind of switched and went all electronic. So I'm doing all the vocals and writing some synths and stuff. And then Josh is doing most into all of the programming, and writing a bunch of like the synth parts and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, I was the main vocalist on our previous things. And now I'm synth boy.
Yeah, we just kind of switched it up a little bit.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about that. What was the reasoning and kind of the impetus around like switching it up and going in this new direction with your just all electronic?
I think like when we first started, between the two of us, I had a drum machine and a cheap synth, and Josh had the exact same cheap synth. So like that was all we had to work with. And then we just both got more into understanding synths. Josh can talk about that. He dived headfirst into modular, and went overboard. And then, so it just kind of kept expanding and stuff. And then again, I'll let Josh tell, but like at one point he was like, I've never played only an instrument in a band. Like, do you want to like do the vocals and like stuff? So when we get to play live again, he'll be playing most of the live instrumentation and I'll be doing vocals and adding little things in here and there. But yeah, just kind of like switched what we're doing.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'll let Josh tell you.
Well, yeah. So I guess like during the pandemic and whatnot, I spent, you're locked in your room or your house or whatever, 24 hours a day. I was laid off work and whatnot. And like he just said, I accumulated a lot of synthesizers and a lot of things of that such. And I just started just writing songs and just writing and writing and writing and writing and understanding it and then being like, this piece fits here. Oh, this is how I can make this work in a live setting. And in a way that I don't know we could have done before. And after once again, just being in isolation and just doing nothing but immersing myself in that world, I was like, we could do this live and we can do this like all electronic. I've been singing in bands my 20 years. I was like, you know what, I enjoy this more than singing.
Cool.
And I love his voice and I love the lyrics that he writes. So I was like, why don't we just do a role reversal, essentially, And, it's just, essentially just evolving. is musicians and whatnot. And
I'll say vocally for me too, like, this wouldn't have worked if we just started out and he was like, do all the vocals. Like, well, on like the first EP, I did like some backup vocals and then like it kept getting more and more. And then we kind of like did like not half and half, but probably like 60-40 vocals on the LP. So like, by the time this like was like, hey, do you want to try this? I was like, oh, okay. Like, I think I can pull this off. If it was out of the gate, I would have probably been like, nah, I don't know. I don't think that's going to work out, man.
You've been trained up at this
point. Yeah. So, and then we did like, we've done like two US tours and then like three, like kind of like 2 week tours where I was doing a bunch of vocals too. Mm-hmm. So like outside of that, I don't think I would have been prepared. So vocally. So
are you going to handle the majority of the vocals live then? Now, from now moving on, Daniel?
Yeah, like the new EP is all like, I did all the vocals on it. Mm-hmm. And then there's one song where we reworked like an old, like a song off the LP for it, the EP, and then kind of like changed it around. And I like kind of changed some of the lyrics and added some. And then we've talked about, there's like a few other songs that at some point we're going to go back in and just kind of like reinvent and like do like an MK2 version for, and so we can like play some of them live, but we won't be like playing the old songs in those capacities anymore. Even if we like do play them, they're like going to be like a new version of it.
Yeah. I wouldn't say we're like a totally new band, but we kind of pseudo are.
Yeah.
Like,
it's cool that you guys are playing around with it and just figuring out like a new way to do it. Even though it's just two people, you guys are switching roles and, you know, experimenting during this time when, you know, you have all the time to do it.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, last year I spoke with, Brett from the band Pallbearer, and he got during the current quarantine, he got into modular synth. And he was, I don't really know that world of, I've watched videos on it. I don't have that equipment, but it looks really cool. My friend Greg has a modular synth and he's equipment. And I just watch videos of him doing it. How many hours do you spend just toying around with it and how, I guess, yeah. What was your foray into it how long do you spend kind of tweaking with it and stuff?
Well, I guess it was one of those things when I really like, I made a conscious decision years ago that I was like, I'm going to learn synthesizers in and out.
Yeah.
And modular was, you know, that's essentially the Mount Everest, you know, synthesizers. And I honestly started watching videos, like mind numbingly boring videos. Like they'd be like, this is 3 hours long. I'm just being like, this is what CV is, or this is what, you know, an envelope generator does when it's not, you know, inside of a synthesizer. And I just absolutely gave myself to it.
It looks and really intense, but like really cool. Yeah,
it is. A cool book that we both have too. I think you have, it's called Patch and Tweak. Mm. It kind of reads borderline like a textbook manual with then like a few famous like synth artists explaining what it does. But like, if you really want to get really nerdy and like Josh was like, if you want to know exactly how an oscillator functions or exactly like what like a filter does, it's cool.
Nice. Yeah. It's also like a good way to think about modular to make it, I guess, a little less, just, you know, monolithic in a sense, is just thinking of modular as, if you look at a synthesizer, each module is breaking down each aspect of what a synthesizer does.
Okay.
So instead of just being like, here's a synth, it has oscillator one, oscillator two, it has filters, it has an envelope generator, yada, yada, yada. Modular is you just making an absolutely custom synthesizer.
That's awesome. So and you can then, really route it the way you want it.
Absolutely. Like modulation is the name of the game, you know, like then there's just no limit. And that's the biggest draw to me with modular was that, you know, we've been playing in bands forever and like, and especially just, you know, guitar, bass, drum, bass and bass bands. And when I really, really delved into modular, I was like, there is no limit to this.
Yeah.
That there's absolutely no limit. It's an infinite instrument, you know, but yeah, that was the biggest appeal for sure.
When you get started on it, do you ever like, you know, play with it for a while, test around with it for a while, tweak around with it, and then like realize, oh, 4 hours have gone by?
That is literally every day of my life. I tell him that I'm like, dude, I was gonna like work on like, I probably have albums worth of stuff for us.
Nice.
But I have to be real. I record everything that I do, but it'll straight up be like, I'm going to pull. The scariest thing is when I pull all the patches out of everything. And then I look at it and like, well, what next? And then it literally turns into like, I'm just going to try this one experiment.
Yeah.
And then it turns into like, oh my God, I haven't eaten today. And it's been like 8 hours. Like this is insane.
Yeah.
You go down incredible rabbit holes. And we write songs fairly frequently at this point, kind of because of that,
mm-hmm.
because it's just,
it's opened up a new world,
a whole new world.
That's so awesome. I'm not even in the modular rabbit hole that he is, but we're like sitting in my apartment right now. And I have like 5 or 6 synths right next to us,
nice.
But like not modular. And even like, I will, like my girlfriend will get home from work and I'll be like, I like didn't eat all day. She'd be like, how long have you been doing this? I'd be like, I don't know. When did you leave? Like, so like, yeah, like any, yeah, it happens a lot. It's very easy to delve into that.
Absolutely. Like it's, you know, you'll patch something that you didn't think about. Just plug one cable into one thing. And you're like, this changed everything. And now I got to go from here. And you start just turning one thing and plugging another thing in. It's just, it's amazing. It really is like a cathartic thing. And it's also like, you know, it takes you to kind of a different dimension in your brain.
Thanks, Brian Eno. Look what you've done to these guys.
Right.
True.
So, last time I talked to you, you guys had a pretty stripped down approach to tour, you know, but you guys said that, you know, you're very loud, but you only had, you know, limited gear on tour. Is it going to be easy to replicate this new, you know, kind of direction you guys are going live?
So in theory, yes, we have it worked out in our practice space. So yes, like technically we'll have even less gear, but it's just different stuff mm-hmm. now. And like the new EP and then the new stuff we've been working on too, it's like, gotta say, like, it's the same vibe. Like yeah. it's going to still be like a loud and abrasive, but then there's like catchy parts too. And I think sure. that'll still come across. It's just a different vein.
It's definitely, that. It's electronic. Like it's full on electronic. I would say it's heavy without being metal.
Yeah.
At this point, saying it's stripped down is inaccurate. I would say it's probably more complex
yeah.
in a lot of ways, but just the approach will be more stripped down. Like nice. Before we were wheeling in massive cabinets and things like that. And now it's a lot more just like, well, here's our like 3 suitcases and that's it.
Cool.
Wheeling in. And that's essentially would be it.
You know? Yeah. So I saw that the album is now on Downstar. Is that Glory Kid?
Yeah, Andy that owns the label has just been contemplating changing the name for a while. Okay. So it's the same label. He just kind of like changed yeah. it up.
The rebrand.
So yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Nice. Cool, man. Well, we're actually going to go into a couple songs here. We're going to go into actually, which two would you like to start with?
Go for it.
let's start with Multiply the Stillness.
Okay. Well, let's just start with one. We'll go into Multiply the Stillness, and we'll be back with more from At the Heart of the World here on Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. We'll be right back. back here on Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. That was At the Heart of the World. Josh Green, Daniel Porter, their project, and they have a new album, Sorrow Uncoils. It's available now on Downstar, new EP. You can pick it up. But Josh, we were just talking off the air. He just did synths on the new Matt Pike solo project. That's awesome. How did you get in touch with Matt, or how did he get in touch with you? Are you guys friends?
Yeah, oddly enough, we are. We have a lot of mutual friends. My roommate actually plays drums on said solo record.
That's awesome.
And the drummer in my old band played drums in High and Fire for like a hot second.
Very cool.
Yeah, we just kind of been like casual buddies and whatnot. And he mentioned that he was doing the solo record, and he came over one night and we had a little bit of fun and playing on my modular stuff. And he was like, "Hey dude, I want this like on my record." And I was like, "Yeah, like if this is an invitation to like record with you, 100%.
That was weird too, because I lived with Josh too. Yeah. We were roommates, and I was like sitting in my room, and him and Matt just came in. And I don't remember what the situation was.
We were on acid.
But like, I like showed, Josh was like, "Show Matt that thing that we're working on." I was like, "It's like four notes." And like somehow Matt Pike ended up playing one of my guitars, and like I was recording, and I had like no idea what was going on. And it's like,
so hilarious.
And like, and it's, I've met Matt a bunch of times. So he's just like, he's just Matt now. When I see him, like, "Oh, hey, what's up, man?" But then like at a point I was like, "Why is Matt Pike in my room playing my guitar and I'm recording it right now?" Yeah. It's just like a really bizarre situation.
It was odd as hell for sure.
If you're tuning in, you don't know who Matt Pike is. First off, do some homework. He is the guitarist for Sleep. He's a guitarist for High on Fire. Asbestos Death, going all the way back.
I forgot about that until you said that Matt was in your room. And I was just like, yeah, you, him, and John just came down. It was like,
the door,
and they were like, "Hey, let Matt play on that thing." And I was like, I was like watching like reality television, because like it was like during the pandemic, and I was like, "What the f- is going on?" Sorry, if we can't cuss.
No, we'll bleep it out. We'll bleep it out.
Then he was just I was like, "Yeah, sure, I'll play on your solo record if that ever happens," kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, he was like, "Hey dude, we got the studio booked and you're recording with Billy Anderson." And I was like, "Oh, well, I'm double in."
Yeah.
Now, it was really fun. I brought a bunch of gear in. I didn't bring any module stuff because I knew that would be a rabbit hole that no one would ever get anything done with.
Yeah.
So I was like, "I'll bring a couple synths in that are manageable, that we could get any sound that you want and not have to rip Billy's hair out, you know,
for making
this work." But it was a overall incredible experience. Just like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, Matt Pike, legend. And I'm like sitting there jamming with him doing stupid synth. It was really cool.
So this album that we're playing songs from, Sorrow Uncoils, did you guys record this during the pandemic?
We did.
Yeah, we actually did everything on it. Like we wrote everything, and then we like recorded everything, we EQ'd everything. And then like how Josh was saying, goes down rabbit holes of like modular stuff. I went down rabbit holes of how to mix and master things.
Wow.
We did everything ourselves. Partly 'cause like we wanted to, and then also partly 'cause like we could just email, when I moved out of his place, we could just easily email ideas back and forth to each other.
Yeah.
We did everything ourselves.
Wow. And you learned all the programs to do it, or did you already have that knowledge?
So we both already use Logic to record stuff. And that's kind of like a built-in thing. We were actually talking about this recently, 'cause like going forward recording, like it's in electronic music, you kind of have to like have a baseline knowledge of recording and mixing and EQing just to even write songs. Mm-hmm. So like we just decided to like take it further and like find out more like the details of like how to do things. I will say Derek Moore that lives in Seattle, that we recorded the LP and stuff with. Yeah. I definitely text him multiple times to get some knowledge. So I was shout out to Derek, cause he definitely freely gives me any, answers, any questions I need. But, yeah, so we're just like working on getting better at that end too. Cause it's like kind of a necessity
Absolutely.
For electronic music to just come at it from all facets kind of thing.
It's definitely different than recording like acoustic instruments mm-hmm. and whatnot, just because the level of frequencies you're dealing with. So, I mean, there's definitely been a lot more deep diving than I think we would typically be doing, you know, to like figure things out. But, I just, you know, like, yeah, like, we're not using a laptop live either. So it's like really like the only recording that we have to like figure out is.
Yeah.
Even, in the studio.
Yeah. Even live, we'll still be using like hardware synths and samplers, but they're still fall into that. So like everything will still be done live between the two of us that you hear kind of thing. So we just want to, I don't know. It just, I don't want to be a band that has a laptop and just hits a space bar.
Sure.
Like I like some bands that do that.
For so sure. I'm not knocking it at all.
We just personally don't want to be that band.
Yeah. So I'm just not good at it. I'm not good at like mapping the laptop to the hardware. It's just easier for me to do the other way, the harder way.
There's bands like, you know, electronic groups can do that, but then there's also bands like Meshuggah who does that because their light show is entirely like set to the grid and they have it all, you know what I mean? Like, so there's like, there's so many metal bands that probably have everything set on a laptop because it's all on a grid and it's all, I don't know. It's complex stuff, but,
I don't think they use amps, right?
I think it's all direct effects. Yeah.
Like it's all digital.
I've never seen them, but I would willing to wager money at this day and age with what they sound and how their intricacy and watching videos. Yeah. I bet that's all MIDI'd out to everything.
Absolutely.
And they basically show up with guitars and plug into something. So like I would wager that.
So the last time I spoke with you guys, for the first interview, you guys gave me a plethora of artists that you were listening to. I know you guys are huge music lovers. Just give me a couple names. What have you guys been listening to lately?
Josh.
All right. So I've actually, recently there's a few newer artists that, I think are really rad. There's also a bunch of old artists that sure. I think just kind of like fell to just like lost in time or whatnot.
Yeah.
This band that I love named Seal Wolf. They're from I think their first album came out like 92.
Okay.
And it's just like super harsh industrial.
Is that German band?
Yeah. Yeah. And like they're on the same level label as like Merzbow.
Okay.
Like I think that the same person that discovered Merzbow discovered them. And it's just really like, let me see here. It's just amazing. Like, it's all, I think it's mainly sample based. So they're like sampled like Neurosis and like death metal bands and stuff like that. And then like splice in like crazy stuff, but still being like punishingly just like industrial for a lack of a better word. But, they're really, really, really awesome. I highly recommend checking out their whole catalog.
Cool.
The new Qual Records rad. I really like that.
Okay.
It's one of the members from Lebanon Hanover.
Yeah. Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and that new Qual Records awesome.
I finally remember everything. Listening to that the other day.
It's good.
I've personally been on this weird kick. I've literally been listening to Candlemash, Judas Priest, and Cathedral.
Nice.
But, like, also mixed in with Mobb Deep and Clips and like, okay. So it's a weird, I don't know. That's what I've been like listening to this past week.
Yeah. So. Oh, the new Alter Age record is amazing too.
Yeah. Right on, man. That's a good mix of things. Are you guys planning, you know, so I just bought ticket to Maryland Death Festival. I've never gone to that before. So I was like, you know what? I've waited a year and it's a couple months. I'm going to go to something 2022, of course. And I'm like, you know, planning just something to do. Cause you know, we've been locked up and cooped up inside. Do you guys have any plans for, you know, adventures once we've all been vaccinated and we can leave the house and are you guys going to go on vacation at all or go on tour?
Tour.
Yeah. I mean, we've loosely started talking about like a time frame of when we should like book a tour. I mean, for us, I think we definitely probably said like not till like beginning of 2022.
Cool.
Yeah.
For logistical purposes and like, we don't want to jump the gun on anything too.
Sure.
Other than that, I mean, my girlfriend, sister lives in San Diego and she wants me to go meet her. So yeah. I mean, like, I might go do that. Like, but that's not even till like end of October, beginning of November. So, I don't know. I work with the public, so I've been pretty like not going anywhere. Like there was like months on end where Josh was the only person I saw, like it was like outside of work.
Same.
And that's because like we were already roommates. So at the time, so I was like, well, okay. I realize right now I'm pointing to him, like this video that me and we're looking at is going to be playing. So like,
it's not a visual medium right now.
I just feel dumb. So dumber, I guess that would be.
I'm going to go see New Order and Pet Shop Boys. I think in October too, actually. They rescheduled that show.
Nice.
And it's actually happening. So that's the only thing I'm doing that's not inside of Portland.
Oh man. So the first show, me and one of my coworkers, like Big Frida's playing here. I think it's
okay. Rad that, yeah.
So I was just like, yo, if that actually happens, let's go to Big Free.
Yeah.
You got to drop it.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
You guys got
to
twerk.
I have to tell you this. I was talking to my coworker at least for like an hour about, do you think I could get Big Frida's contact to get her to feature on the Heart of the World song?
That'd be pretty hard, dude.
So if anyone has Big Frida's contact information,
let us do a remix of your song.
Please hit us up.
That might be an expensive feature, but totally worth it.
I mean, like, yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
Even a remix, like I said, even let us remix one of your songs, I would die happy.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, what would the bucket list of remixes would you guys like to do? Like if there was like a few different bands or artists other than Big Frida that you would love to remix.
We could remix one of their songs or they could remix one of our songs.
Let's go with each. One that you would like to remix and then one that, you know, for them to remix you.
I'll say off the top of my head, like to remix one of ours, I would say Tricky.
That'd be awesome.
That would be rad.
Alec Empire would be rad. Like I realized like,
is he from Atari Teenage Riot?
Yes. Yeah, thank you. I was about to say, I realized me, Josh, and like three other people apparently like Atari Teenage Riot, but like I would be stoked and I don't care about anyone.
I knew the name. I just know Atari Teenage Riot. I just didn't.
I'd say like Tricky, Alec Empire, Kevin Key from Skinny Puppy would probably be up there.
We could just throw Trent Reznor out there too.
I mean, Trent Reznor would be cool too. Like,
If we're really going bucket list, it's like,
I mean, if we're going down that, I would say Saul Williams would be cool too. Cause like he did remixes of like Nine Inch Nails stuff. And then like Trent Reznor produced that one Saul Williams record. That would be cool too.
Yeah.
Basically outside of like Kevin.
How about Keith? Scott Storch? Hip hop Scott Storch did all those Lil Wayne records. I don't know.
I love Lil Wayne. So that would actually be.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Also, I'll throw Jimmy Jam out there. I mean, we're talking about impossible things,
Jimmy Jam. Yeah. Jimmy Jam is like one of my icons. So like, that would be amazing. Like,
nice. And how about, for who would you guys like to remix?
This is really random, but like Charlie XCX, one of her songs she put out on her last record. I really like her and I saw her, I guess it was 2019 now because, you know, pandemic.
Yeah.
But that was the best show I saw all a year. And it was the most energetic and fun of all genres of show. Anyway, she put out stems of one of her tracks last year. And me and Derek that I was talking about, like, both did like our own remix of her, just sending them back and forth because she like put them out to do that. So like, that'd be cool. Also, if she wants to like feature on one of our songs.
Yeah, that'd be cool too. Yeah. Just putting it out there, right?
I guess like I know any Killing Joke, anything. Mm. I could do any Killing Joke song they allowed it. I would die happy. Okay. Sure. I'm trying to think of anything in particular. Mainly, Brighter Than a Thousand Suns. Like anything off of Brighter Than a Thousand Suns, Killing Joke era.
I listened to that record day after I sent you that K93.
It's one of my favorite records of all time.
Side note, a new EP came out that it's Jax Coleman doing vocals and Peter Hook did an EP together called like K93 or something that I somehow missed in March.
It's like K Equation Mark.
Yeah. Huh. It's cool. It's pretty like somber.
Okay.
It's like just three or four songs, but it's cool.
It's really cool. It's really cool.
So for anyone that's not watching right now, I have a question. Why is there a bunch of scissors behind you?
Okay, so
I'm in his apartment.
So let me give you, this is my girlfriend's painting and sewing.
Cool.
Like nice. Corner. And then cool. On this side is my, the scents and like stuff corner. So we just
the office.
It's our office. Yeah.
Very cool.
I think it's technically a dining room, but we're Americans, so we eat dinner on the couch in front of the TV.
Yes, exactly. Nice. Okay. Well, all right. Well, we're going to go into a couple more songs here. Just to kind of wrap this up, just of course, I want to mention again, Sorrow Uncoils is available now on Downstar. At the Heart of the World is the name of the group. And what's the best way to support you guys now during this time that we can't see you guys live, buy a t-shirt and buy the album from your merch table? What's the best way to support you?
So everything's up on Bandcamp. The new EP is like we pressed on cassette. That's available. It's streaming there. All our other releases that we aren't sold out are on there. The Death Wish e-store has all our music. And I think they have a few shirts like up for sale too.
Yeah.
So that'd be like the most direct way, but then everything's also streaming on Spotify and Apple Music and like every major kind of thing. And then we have like every social media platform available under the sun, like everyone else. So
right on. All right. Well, any final words before we jump into Pain Demands Attention and Reflect Reveal? Any final words?
Read Dune.
Okay.
Read Dune. If you never read Dune, read Dune.
I haven't. I'm actually, to be honest, that's a good thing to say because I've actually never really jumped. Okay. I've never jumped into sci-fi, the entire genre. I've been more of just a nonfiction guy my whole entire life. And recently I was like, you know what? I remember I used to have, sense of creativity and wonderment as a child. I would like to
like we all did,
go back into that, so let's try some sci-fi. So my roommate, he gave me some suggestions and Dune is at the top, but I'm working my way to that.
Absolutely. And Dune, there's six books and Dune one, like the quintessential Dune is really just kind of like the surface scratch it. Like after Dune one, it's actually the most insane series you've ever read. Like truly, truly, truly insane. It's hard to read, but go for it.
I got to get to this.
I'll also say that real quick, a couple months ago, I decided that I was watching way too much TV and I hate movies and TV now because that's all I've been doing outside of going to work. So I got a library card and now
nice.
The library is awesome. I felt like a 6-year-old because I've literally talked to all my clients about the books I'm getting. They also have a ton of graphic novels that I've been getting out and I've just been getting sci-fi books because I apparently I've been like in a sci-fi rabbit hole as well.
Yeah.
Man, check out the library. It's rad.
And also if you did you know that you can get book on podcast versions from the library.
They have an app like called Libby, like download. Yeah.
So cool.
Been talking about the library so much. Like I was just like my girlfriend, like when I kept talking about it, I think she literally looked at me one day and went, I know how the library works. And I was like, I'm just saying it's cool.
Man, we're talking library and modular synth. True nerd on this one, man.
As hell. I love it.
Also, right. Yeah, like I'm just finishing up Swamp Thing. Like they had like all of Alan Moore's Swamp Thing in hardback cover editions.
Great.
More like a walking endorsement for the Multnomah County Library. Yeah. I'm sure the King County Library is wonderful too, though.
Hey, there was a band in Seattle called Blood Hag who was sponsored by the library.
I've played with them before.
Yeah, they were like sponsored by the library because all their songs were about sci-fi and fantasy authors and stuff.
They're like a literate grindcore band.
Yep.
I didn't even know you could do that. Yeah. Oh, so there's also Andrew Gomez. Yeah,
I love it so much.
That does the label. Like mm-hmm. he also owns Swarm Print, like a screen printing shop. But he does illustrations. He did this like little drawing for this like fantasy book online called Tome. And then he asked me to like sync up some music. So I wrote this little like fantasy, like synth background piece to a synth bookstore, like advertisement. Too.
That's amazing.
So, I'm really done talking about books, the library and stuff now.
Word.
If this was a podcast, like if this wasn't just labeled as the At the Heart of the World interview, the sub headline is Modular Synths and Library.
In industrial.
Modular Synths and Library Cards. All right. We got Pain Demands Attention, Reflect, Reveal. This is At the Heart of the World on Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.